Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, let our hearts be prepared to receive these words. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. If anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even if the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, as we hear these words, there are several ways in which we can look at them and several messages that come from these. One of the first that I think about is that kingdom of God coming near. There are people that are going to listen, and then there are those that are not going to listen. There are people that are going to be willing to hear what we have to say and what our God has in store for them and ready to receive that, but then there are those that are going to continue to reject. And what we hear the scripture telling us is that there are those who receive, and as they willingly receive, we tell them that the kingdom of God, or the word tells them that the kingdom of God has come near to them. But there are those also that reject that message, that reject what God has in store for them, yet we're still also supposed to remind them that the kingdom of God has come near to them. And as I think about what unfolded yesterday with that plane crash with Flight 214 that came into San Francisco, there were two people that died, 305 people walked away. Now granted, I understand there are still some serious injuries and that casualty count may actually grow. But at this point, 305 people walked away from a crash that nobody should have walked away from. And as I hear that, I can't help but to think that the kingdom of God has come near. That the kingdom of God came near to those people. And that those that are not yet believers that may have been on that plane, it's time to say, you know what? God was with me. And that there's a force, a power, something that I can't explain, but something is there. And the only thing that can be is God. And that the kingdom of God had come near. You've probably heard it said that it's a dog-eat-dog world out here. Or that we're like, or that there are wolves out there laying in wait for the sheep. Laying in wait for those that are not at the top of the food chain. That assimilation indicates what this harsh reality is that we have come to know as the world. People can be hard. Life can be hard. Circumstances can be hard. Things can get tough. We can get knocked down. And we can feel like the whole world is out to get us. And we are an educated people, so there are times that we expect to encounter challenges. We can see those things coming. But there are also times where those things happen as a complete surprise. We didn't see them coming. Maybe some illness. Maybe a plane crash. How many of those people got on that plane yesterday, or very early yesterday, expecting to be in a crash that day? Although if it would have been me, I would have expected to be in a crash because I don't like to fly. I mean, and I just don't trust flying. But how many of those people really thought that this was what was going to happen in their life that day. But when we think about this, these challenges that we face in this world, the question becomes this: what do you do in the face of those challenges? What do you do in those places where you encounter something that pushes you beyond your comfort level, or pushes you beyond where you think your faith may be strong? And when that happens, will you be an observer? Or will you choose to truly carry that light of Christ into that darkness that you experience, or that darkness that others may experience? Will you be that light in the face of rejection? Will you be that light? Maybe you say, I'm not prepared. You know what? I'm not prepared to deal with this. I'm not prepared to deal with this serious illness. I'm not prepared to deal with this tragedy. I'm not prepared to deal with the loss of a family member, if I'm a family member of those 19 firefighters that were killed in Colorado. Or maybe I'm not prepared to deal with this flooding that has caused me to lose everything. But the Scripture tells us that our God will be there, and that our God prepares us. We've already heard this morning, don't take anything with us. It's not about what we do. It's not about us equipping ourselves. It's about how our God has equipped us. And our faith, our belief, those are the things which we stand strongly on. Those are the places where we draw our strength. Reading the words that we have before us this morning, the Lord picked out, handpicked 70 people, sent them out ahead of Him to prepare a way, to prepare the place for which He intended to go. And when He sent these 70 people out, He commissioned them with the expectation that there would be people they would encounter that would believe, would be willing to receive the Word, and would be willing to change. But at the same time, He also knew the reality of the world. And He prepared those people He sent out just for that, essentially telling Him that there are also going to be people that are not receptive to the Word. And here's something, or a piece of advice that we can all take. If people are not receptive to the Word of God, if people don't want to hear what we say, have to say as a body of Christ, or if people don't want to hear what we have to say when we pray, and if people don't agree with what we believe as a body of Christ, as Christians, then how personally should we take that? How personally should we take it? Is it our fault that they don't believe? Or do we keep on doing what we're supposed to do? And I say we keep on doing what we're supposed to do because as we read in the Scripture this morning, basically He says when you get to those places where people don't listen, cast them off. Keep on doing what you're called to do. If you're called to proclaim the good news and to do the right thing for the people in this world, to love your neighbor, to love God, if you're called to make disciples, and some people say, no, I don't believe in what you're doing, or I'm not going to do it, well, you keep on going. And what He mentions is that dust on their feet of the city that we shake off. So in other words, if we get knocked down because we're a Christian and we're doing what we're supposed to do, and somebody doesn't like it, well, we keep right on going. We keep doing what our God's called us to do, because there are many people that still stand ready to receive, that maybe they've just not been invited. Maybe they've not been invited to church. Maybe they've not been invited to accept Christ in their heart. Or maybe it's somebody that is down on their luck and nobody's offered to offer them any type of help. And maybe your smile that day, or that dollar you hand somebody, or that meal that you buy, or that quarter you give today to stop hunger now, maybe that's that life-changing event that helps a person receive Christ in their heart for the first time. Or maybe that's that event that helps somebody realize that, you know what, this world still is full of goodness, and that these wolves, they're actually the minority out there, that the world truly is full of good people. But we have to open our eyes and see where those good works are being done. I think that you'll agree that Christians are often very much like those lambs that are sent out into the midst of wolves with gnashing teeth. and our commission to make disciples of all people, that they may be baptized in the name of the Lord. Well, it can be hard to follow. Our commandment to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul, when it's not popular, maybe in a community that we live in, it can be hard. And our commandment to love our neighbor as we do ourselves can be extremely hard, especially when our neighbor don't want anything to do with us. But those are the things that we're called to do as a body of Christ. And as Christians, we have been selected, just like these 70 we read about, we have been selected, handpicked, as those few laborers to go out and prepare the way of our Savior. In the acceptance of our commission and our command, we cannot help but to feel humbled that our Savior chose us. That our Savior chose us, and that our God would use common people like me and like you to carry out such important work, that work that He set forth. And as we think about what it is that we've been called to do and where we've been called to go, we realize then how important this work is. And there's no time for rest. Right now we think about maybe what our summer vacation holds, or the time off that we get, or the breaks that we get. And those things are great. Those things are wonderful for your families and for your recharging, and those are things that we need to do. But the thing from which we can never rest is the Word of God. We must always be true to that Word, live that Word, love that Word, share that Word, because that's how we act. Coming out of annual conference, churches have been challenged to be the church of Christ, the church of our God for the communities in which we serve. And I ask you what that may look like. How is it that churches become that bright shining light in the midst of wolves? How is it that churches become that shepherd for the community that they serve? How is it that churches proclaim that good news and live out the way that we're called to live? How is it that we live in a way that is consistent with our commissioning and our command, that others would come to Christ for the first time because of the way that we live? How is it that they would come to experience that same grace and mercy that we have willingly received? Brothers and sisters, going into this world each day, living out our lives, there's one thing that we can be certain of, is that it will be difficult. It will be difficult. Some people are going to listen, some people are not, but the confidence we have is found in our God, who's promised to never leave us, to never forsake us, to always be near. I personally think one of the hardest things about being a Christian, and I think this is probably one of those stumbling blocks for a lot of other people, but it's letting go of our past. Letting go of those places we've become very comfortable. Getting outside of our comfort zone and moving in a new direction. Because we know through our baptism, and we were called to a change, to experience a renewal in our soul and our spirit, and to experience a changed life. But what I also know is that none of us are perfect. I would like to stand here and say that we can all be 100% perfect in living a fully submitted life to Christ. That we can all be perfect in living out our baptism. But the truth is, we know that those temptations still lie out there. And then that's where we, as a body of Christ, come together and we draw on the strength of each other while we also draw on the strength of the Lord. That we cannot do it alone. It's hard to be a Christian when we don't talk to other Christians. It's hard to be a Christian when we don't have people that we can call to be spiritual coaches, or to offer that word of prayer, or to offer those words of comfort whenever we're experiencing a difficult place in our life. I mean, even as a preacher, there are places that I doubt quite a bit. And then I have to reach out and call somebody and say, listen, I'm struggling. And I need to talk. I need you to pray with me. And that's what it means to be connected. Because as a body of Christ, we are connected with Christians all over this world. We're connected with each other that sit here today. We're connected with Christians in this community, in this state, in this country, and in this world. But we cannot be afraid to reach out and ask for help. Because there are wolves on that fence line that stand ready to pounce on us when we have that misstep or that moment of disbelief. Our challenge is to live out the change that came about as a result of our baptism, while also remembering the mighty acts of our Savior and recalling that His broken body and spilled blood, that through those we've been forgiven and received a promise of an eternal life. So how is it then that we truly live in a way that reflects our sincere belief in these things? How is it that we can live each day as a forgiven body, as a reconciled people, on this journey towards sanctification that we each desire? So I say to you today, let our lives reflect that unconditional love that our God has shown for us through His redeeming grace, through His abundant mercy. Let us seek to make all the encounters that we have with others in this world positive experiences. Let us keep trying when we face rejection. Let us come to our feet when we're knocked down. Let us draw our strength from the Lord when we feel like giving up. Let us love without hesitation, serve without reason, forgive more easily, trust when it's hard, and let us never stop praying. Today, you were invited to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And in the joining together at this table, you're united with all members of the body of Christ across this world as we together remember a mighty Savior with a body broken and a blood shed for you. Praise be to God.